Hello, and welcome to Agents of Speak, a spinoff show to Superhero Speak, a weekly podcast where we discuss news and topics related to superheroes in TV, movies, and comics. This show is a companion show to the new ABC drama, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In this show, we will be discussing our immediate impressions of the episode that just aired, including spoilers about the episode and speculation about what is to come in future episodes. So if you haven't watched the show, let this serve as your spoiler warning. Tonight, in the premiere episode of this new show, we will be discussing the premiere episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you are watching us live, welcome to the show. This will also be available after this broadcast on our YouTube channel. And once we figure out how to scrape the audio, it will also be available to download or stream in an audio-only format on our website, iTunes, and Stitcher. If you're unfamiliar with our regular podcast, I'm Ben, and joining me tonight are Dave.
Hello, how are you?
John.
Hey, everybody can hear me finally.
And a new addition to our co-host lineup, Scott.
Hey, everybody.
So, the show just ended, actually now about 15, 20 minutes ago. And we all actually successfully watched it, I assume. So let's just dive right into it.
Wait a minute. I had to watch the show?
All right, you're out. I'm kicking you out now.
I'm sorry, I forgot everything after I saw Colby Smothers, so, you know, that's just the way it works.
It was good to see her in the show. I'm glad that they let her cameo in at least the pilot, and I hope that we do see more of her in the future.
Yeah, hooray continuity.
Yes. Speaking of continuity, that's one thing I was actually impressed with. They did a really good job in this show to reference so many different things from the movie universe. You know, by having, and I guess I'm going to just jump right ahead, you know, the villain being, you know, his powers being Extremis-based, and
all those. Where's your co-host?
Apparently, he's got some things going on over there.
I hit a button by accident. I think Dave heard the sound effect. Did you hear
yes.
that?
That's
I totally did not. I apologize. My thumb hit a button and it just...
No worries. No worries. So we saw the return of Coulson and some sort of explanation as to how he's still around that already seems to be a bit of a ruse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They I don't know. I was kind of thinking maybe clone.
Well, they really didn't get into too much detail about it.
No, they didn't. They sort of had it, you know, his story, he sort of faked it as part of a cover that they had worked out. They sent him to hang out in Tahiti and recover for a while, and then he came back when he was ready.
But then there
was the elusive, you know, he can never know kind of thing.
Right. Oh, he wasn't really in Tahiti.
Right.
that's just what we call it.
Or maybe he is a clone, and he's never to know that he really isn't the real Coulson.
Right.
Maybe he's not even a clone. Maybe he's a life model decoy.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I was wondering. Are they going to use life model decoys in this show? Because they haven't touched on it in the movies yet, but it was a big thing in the comic books. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they've avoided it in the movies so far, but there's definitely potential for that to get introduced. The one thing I want to go right back to the beginning. So we started off the show. First of all, there was the pre-opener. The cold open where this guy, Michael Peterson, you know, goes into the burning building and saves that woman.
Ray Gunn.
Yes. I loved how he was punching holes in the wall to find, you know, footholds to climb his way up. That was pretty cool.
I have to say the special effects for a television show, even though it's 2013, they were really good. I mean, you know, I'm a little worried that they spend their special effects budget on the premiere episode, because we've seen that a lot in sci-fi shows.
Joss can cover them if he needs it.
Yeah, I think... Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, I don't really think that they did that much, you know, special effects-wise, that you know, is too... I mean, there was a lot of holographic stuff there towards the end, but, you know, I'd like to think that, like, you know, like it was mentioned that Joss could cover it, you know. I hope the viewership will be there.
Right. I think actually they'll be able to afford it by the fact that Joss won't be directing every single episode.
I think the viewership was there tonight. I was tweeting throughout the entire episode, and we got quite a few retweets and favorites. So people were following our Twitter feed, following along with the show. So yeah, there's definitely an audience out there right now.
Yeah, definitely. The people are already following the show and talking about it. And I definitely loved a lot of the referential stuff. Like I just had to crack up laughing when Sky had done that line about, you know, with great responsibility, comes all sorts of other crap. a lot of weird crap. So.
Yes.
I don't know about about anybody else, but I think that. And you know, Ben, as you know, there's very little that I don't like when it comes to television, when it comes to this genre. So, but this was like a wet dream for me, or something like this, because this is why.
So
because,
sad.
No, because
so sad.
We're talking. You know, it was Joss. You know, the Gunn is like the first character you see.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed at the way that he turned out, but then happy towards the end, you know, the way that they resolved that. So it was Joss, you see Gunn. They really nicely tied Avengers to Iron Man 3 to this.
Yeah.
It had like a Heroes type feel to it, but the orchestration, and, you know, I mean, literally the orchestra, you know, gave it like a bigger feel, the way the Marvel movies feel. Right. So I feel they threw a lot at you, you know, but they really nicely, you know, laid the groundwork for, you know, in one episode of, you know, to be able to, you know, continue with either small story arcs or large story arcs. So.
Yeah. I think, though, and I think this is some of it's a testament to Joss Whedon and his team and how he writes and they write and things like that, is some of the things that I noticed with it. Like, you take the scene towards the end where he's confronting, where Coulson is standing right in front of, you know, the bad guy, Michael Peterson. And, you know, he does his whole rant. And I think in any other version of this show, you know, Coulson or whoever was standing in front of him would said something along the lines, like a one-liner sort of thing, you know, I hope you get to be that hero, and you would have seen the shot or whatever to take care of it. But because it's Joss, you saw, you know, Coulson monologued a bit and, you know, sort of said something inspiring, and I think that added so much more to the episode, you know, by him doing that. You know, it's very unique to Joss's style.
Yeah, I think the other thing I really appreciate about the show, the more I think about it, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. show. It's not a superhero show.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. Like, yes, they're tying in the movies. They're tying in the issues with, like you said, Iron Man 3 and the Avengers. But at the same time, you know, it's technology. It's spy-type stuff. It's, you know, it's almost more of a modern-day James Bond than it is, you know, a superhero movie.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, and I did enjoy the technology part, was really cool. Like some of the, like in the immediate scene right after the opener, where you had Ward, you know, pulling off that mission, and he had the, you know, the napkin to take the fingerprints off the glass.
That was awesome.
And the platter that doubled as an X-ray scanner. Mm-hmm. Like some of those types of things. And Fitz and Simmons having those little sensor array of things that would fly around that they seem to have named after dwarves, I think. that's the part that I think definitely makes it, you know, A, it's definitely a S.H.I.E.L.D. show. You see the technology of their agents, they're doing a job, but it's also, you know, Coulson framed it when he was talking to Melinda May and trying to recruit her, that it's also sort of off the books. It's not, you know, they're writing their own ticket here. They're writing their own missions and don't have to follow any sort of directive per se,
right,
other than to manage these threats. So I find that pretty interesting. So they'll have the technology, but they'll also have, you know, they'll have a heart to it. So.
Yeah, and it was, I love the twist too of giving the truth serum to.
Yes.
Yeah, that was beautiful. That was classic, Joss.
Yep.
Yeah.
He loves to do exactly what you... He loves to do stuff that you just do not expect and turn what you'd normally expect the dialogue to go completely on its arse. It's just, you know, it makes for a much better storyline.
Yeah. Agreed. And I also enjoyed, you know, being a Joss Whedon show, he always taps, you know, people that he's worked with before. And obviously we saw that in the, you know, the Monster of the Week, or Hero of the Week, with Gunn.
Same difference.
Sure. With Gunn coming back. And we also saw, you know, those Firefly fans out there, there was, Shepherd Book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught that as soon as it happened.
You know there'll be others. You know.
Oh, I'm sure.
He has his trusted people, but it's nice. And I actually felt like Skye's part could have been played by Elijah Dushku, but
it probably could have.
I don't mind who it's being played by. So
no,
definitely not.
I would have liked to have seen Michelle Trachtenberg in there, maybe, and you know,
she give it time. Give it time.
Maybe a Geller cameo. I don't know.
Well, Geller baby.
and they've already got Colby Smulders. Where's Willow, you know?
Yep.
Right.
Well, that show's ending this year, right? This is their last season?
Yeah,
I think that'll see Maria Hill come back full-time next season, and maybe they'll find a part for Allison Hannigan to come in.
That would be awesome.
That would be.
But I think they also did a good job of establishing, you know, Maria Hill as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Coulson is the head of this group, so they don't have to worry about leaning on her, you know. She can be in and out this season.
Right, right, absolutely. She's instrumental.
She's the liaison. I mean, Fury's the head, right? And I wonder if he'll make an appearance at some point.
I doubt it anytime soon, but I guess it's a possibility.
Scott, you're being quiet.
Well, you know, I mean... I said a lot before, but you know, and this is just the first episode. I mean, I'm sure we're going to see some good stuff. I have very high hopes. Yeah. You know, I just hope it stays at like a Tuesday night slot. You know, Tuesday night good, Friday night bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but well,
it's not on Fox.
It's not Fox. So that's really good. You know, and I think, like I said, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are going to watch. So, you know.
Absolutely.
It seems like there could be some good stuff. Now, were there any coming attractions, or were there any next time? I didn't see anything.
No, there wasn't.
No, there was a a trailer at the end that we saw from upcoming episodes. I only barely paid attention to though because I was thinking about running up here.
Ditto.
Check the DVR. You know,
I watched it. They talked about the 008 or whatever the hell it was. So. Yeah. Which apparently means they have no idea what it is either.
Right. Well, give it time to flesh it out, you know.
Yeah. But the really nice thing about this is that, so they've already got the beginnings of some kind of overarching story arc, and I saw that Dave IM'd to me on Skype about, you tweeted it. It was, it's either...
Is it AIM or Hydra?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you've already got the beginnings of something that's going to overarch all the episodes, and as long as it doesn't turn into a, like you said, Monster or Hero of the Week.
Yeah.
You know, we could use some more interesting stories.
I doubt it's going to be AIM, because I think that they used AIM in Iron Man 3, and even though Extremis was an AIM thing, I think they're not necessarily... going to continue with that necessarily. It could be. I could be wrong. But well, it might be some other group.
Didn't they kind of make mention in the episode, you know, when I think they were talking about technology. I could be wrong. I could be recalling it wrong. But they were talking about the technology that was found, and someone was like, well, you know, this stuff is just out there. You know, people can get their hands on it. So, you know, it might not, you know, it could just be some kind of, you know, made up terrorist organization or something like that, something with evil plans.
Right. Well, I mean, this is a world where the superhero serum happened, where the gamma experiments that Banner did happened, and where, you know, the Extremis thing was a thing, and Iron Man is out there. So it's definitely those things are shaping the version of America that we're looking at. So I think we'll see that influence and see things come from that.
And they did mention something about alien, some of that stuff that made the centipede thing was alien technology, right? And
right, this is alien metal.
This is a world where Skrulls exist, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen them yet, but at least we know that the Chitauri existed because that happened in the Avengers. Yeah. And there was a lot of debris and leftover from what they did, so there's obviously the possibility that some of that technology could get used. And they even touched on that in some of the one-shot things that they did. So, yeah.
Right. The reason they didn't use the Skrulls in the movies is because Fox owns the rights to them right now.
Ooh,
however,
bad choice.
But that's the movie rights. They didn't mention that the TV rights are all owned right now by Disney.
By Marvel and Disney, yeah.
Right, dude. So you could have Skrulls on this show, which would be kind of interesting to see them pull that off.
Yeah, definitely. They did make mention of some things. Obviously, there was the Centipede Project, which Seal didn't know anything about. But they also mentioned Project Pegasus. Now, was that the code name around Thor's hammer?
I don't remember.
I think so.
It might
too bad we're not on the internet.
If only we could look these things up.
I know, that would be amazing.
Yes.
If only I could type.
Well, you've had too much rum, so...
Yes, that's right, kids. If you're going to watch Marvel, there's a way to do it.
Don't drink and podcast.
Yes, don't drink and podcast. It's not a good combination.
Pegasus.
Was it from a game? I remember, I thought it was from a video game. Project Pegasus was from the Marvel Heroes. I forget. I thought something like that. But anyway, John, sorry.
No, it was the Potential Energy Group Alternate Source United States.
Was that the cube?
Yeah, I think it was.
The Tesseract?
Yeah, a Tesseract. That's not, you know, Tesseract, that's a weird use of the word to call a box the Tesseract.
It is, but it's long-standing, so they went with it. So.
Yeah, I think Madeline L'Engle used it first, though. So, let's see. I think that's, well, that's all I've got on Wikipedia, so. Can't know
created, wait, I like this. Created in Marvel 2-in-1, number 42, August 1978, by writer Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, and he still works for them. It's not the same Ralph Macchio.
I know. But I love when that name comes up, because it's like, ooh, wait, he wrote comics, too?
And he sort of acts
multi-talented.
So yeah, they're intent on mentioning whole bunches of stuff to give fans little nudges here and there and potentially... And you know Joss Whedon, he is the master of, yes, I mentioned this for 2 seconds in this episode, and 3 seasons later, all of a sudden, it's really, really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He is the king of weaving little tidbits into his story arcs. I mean, he did it with almost every one of his shows, especially Dollhouse.
Oh. So. For those of the listeners who actually ever finished Dollhouse, that was a rough one.
Yeah. It was great, though. It was a great run.
What do you mean by rough? What do you mean by rough?
It was a rough loss.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Well, Fox, number two.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I
thought it was such a great story. Yeah, but who knows if that story would have developed that way.
Tell he had plans for what she'd be able to do with all the personalities and all the knowledge and all that.
Yeah, well, and he revealed a lot of that with the Epitaph episodes. And so there was still a lot of, like, each season had those Epitaph episodes that jumped to the future. You know, but there was like years in the future, so there was so much that they could still have covered in the season leading up to that, and in the build up that they were doing. But we will never know.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to you. Let that be a lesson to anybody who produces TV shows. Don't use Fox.
Unless he goes back and does a movie. to answer all those questions.
It's not as good. I would have taken 5 more years of Firefly over one movie.
That was not me.
That was me, I think. Sorry.
Are you chiming?
Your thumb hit the button.
I didn't press anything. It just the noise happened.
Oh. So what else did we see in this thing? Because there's.
So, that's a good question. So, well, we definitely had interesting characters they introduced. They introduced Melinda May, which obviously has some sort of backstory that we're going to have to find out over the course of the season. Something happened to her in the field that makes her reluctant to be in the field.
Yeah, and she's not canon, so.
Right.
And I can't find anything on it.
Yeah, but also, obviously, she kicks ass. So.
And she's not hard on the eyes, either.
No, she isn't.
That's the rum talking.
You know, Sky is an interesting character, I think, and definitely the fact that she's, you know, has essentially deleted her own identity. I think there's going to have to be some story to finding out more about who she is. So, Joss was pretty brilliant on this one, that he basically introduced all these characters that you want to know more about. You know, because you have those two, which have all this mystery behind them. You have Coulson, which comes in with an inherent mystery behind him as to how he's even alive and walking around. And you have Fitz and Simmons, who obviously are the geeks of the squad. But you're still kind of interested in what... Yeah, but you're still kind of interested in what they have up their sleeves and what they can pull off. And then you have Ward, who's obviously the more, you know... regimented, straight-laced agent. I'd like to see more of what his deal is and how he fits into things.
Yeah, they definitely portrayed Fitz and Simmons as being quirky, if that's the nice way to put it. You know, right. Didn't want to touch anything dirty, so he invented something to get around it.
Yeah, although I did find that interesting. Like, they're a team, they work together, they're a pair, but they're not similar. I mean, they're similar intellectually, but not personality-wise. Like, you know, Fitz didn't want to get anywhere near the carnage of things, whereas Simmons was diving right into it like it was birthday cake.
But you see that dichotomy, you know, sort of like when they were talking through that one problem, you know, where they were kind of feeding info to one another until they came up with the answer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You almost get the feeling they're almost, it's almost like brother and sister or twin talk that they were
like
used to.
Wonder Twins.
Yeah. No.
Don't say it.
Wonder Twins.
Bad.
Something will happen. Some accident will happen.
Oh, God.
No, they were clearly alien.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll happen, though. I wonder if there will be any events that we'll see in the course of the show where one of the people in the team end up somehow being affected or, you know, become something more than what they are right now. Like, become, you know, infected with some sort of technology or gain some sort of abilities just, you know, accidentally or incidentally in their field work.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, so far they haven't really, like, they've established this team, and this team, and I guess the story is, you know, about these normal people dealing with abnormal, you know, super normal things, but you know they've only got their wits and their tools about them. It'd be interesting to see if somehow they changed up the field a little bit with one of them being affected by something.
Well, they're not very quick to kind of let on in the beginning of the episode that that this guy's abilities are not a mutation. You know, at least not something he was, you know, born with, like the other, like some of the events. You know,
sorry.
What was that?
And you lay off the room.
I accidentally knocked my microphone off.
We are so professional here.
So, you know, it's not until like partway through the episode that they let on that, you know, he's you know, got this centipede thing on his arm, and you know, he's also being affected by something else. So, you know. I think that's kind of interesting, you know. So I think given that, then, you know, the possibilities of them finding something, you know, some kind of object or something that may affect a member of the team is you know, could actually be a filler episode, hopefully, you know.
That's true.
Well, we'll know the next time we see an open vat of chemical stuff, you know, just nuclear waste lying around somewhere
Well, they ran through the whole list. They were like, gamma radiation, this, that.
Yeah, I know. They mentioned just about everything. That was except everything except a radioactive spider.
Well,
give it time.
In shows like this, though, you always expect that episode where
Sony would sue.
They don't have the power to. They don't have the right to do that.
But you expect that episode where like someone gets their powers and now they're the person they have to watch. But you kind of hope they do that later in the series. You know, once we've established the characters and we see who we like, then who are you going to like screw over, basically?
Right.
Yeah. Well, even in this episode, we saw that interesting, like, it starts out with this guy, you know, trying to help out and trying to make things good and trying to be good. But you saw that transition when he was at the factory, that, like, he started to see his old boss as the bad guy and himself as the hero. Like, if those archetypes started getting cast in his brain, you know, whether realistically or not. So even those archetypes are a rationalization, you know, the same way that, you know, there aren't really evil people out there, just people who rationalize the things that they do as being right for them.
That's very astute, because that's the problem with a lot of fiction and comic books and stuff out there, where you see, you know, you got the one guy running around, oh, I'm going to do evil, and it's in the real world, I hate to mention the name, but even Hitler thought he was doing the right thing in God's work. I mean, you know, the bad guy never says, oh, I'm the bad guy, or he didn't say, I'm doing this because I'm evil, duh. He does it because I'm trying to save the world, or I'm trying to bring the light to other people, or so, you know, and they're the most dangerous kinds of psychopaths.
You mean he doesn't sit there and twirl his mustache?
Yeah, and no stroking of cats either for some reason. I don't know.
So let it be said that at 9:42 you rationalized Hitler on our show.
Had to be done.
No. Let that not be said.
Who knew? Who knew it would happen?
Well, you know, Hitler Red Skull, I'm sure we'll see him at some point.
Yeah, maybe. They kind of dispatched him in the movies, though. I mean, you don't have any sense that he made it through that, necessarily.
Yeah, and Captain America couldn't possibly have been frozen in ice for 40 years. And, you know, and I mean, this is comic books, for crying out loud.
Yeah. You know?
Saying that they don't have to obey the rules of real life.
DC brought back Darkseid from being atomic matter just floating around in space. Nobody actually dies in this book.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, pretty much. What would really be nice, though, is to get a cameo or two throughout the season from, you know, Thor or you know, Tony Stark, or, you know, just cameos. I know it's like it'd probably break the budget to have them on for an entire episode, but a cameo would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it's definitely a possibility. I think that it depends on who it is. I think that we're more likely to see, you know, characters like Hawkeye, you know, the quote-unquote B-list characters.
Spider-Man?
I don't think we'll see Spider-Man, because I think that could interfere with things. And we've discussed this before. The you know, people like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, anything that they do with them in the show, even though they have full rights to do so, it creates a canon that they have to adhere to if they ever got the movie rights back to do something with them on the big screen.
But go ahead.
I was going to say that I had heard that that there were different characters, different actors that had potentially been cast as Quicksilver to make cameos in this show and then in Avengers 2. So
interesting.
But because they could do that, I guess, but. Maybe I have it wrong. Maybe it's this show and Spider-Man, but I'm not sure.
Well, they definitely have they have someone cast as Quicksilver for the next Avengers movie, for Avengers 2. And I want to say that Fox or whoever owns the rights to the X-Men stuff, is that Fox or Sony? I always forget.
Fox. Oh, that's it. Days of Future Past.
Right, for Days of Future Past.
Forget what I said.
Right. They're introducing Quicksilver there as well by a different actor.
So they could do the same thing in something like this.
They could, but I think if they were going to introduce him, because they're trying to keep continuity in the show between the movie universe,
sure.
I would think they'd try to bring the actor that they've cast for Age of Ultron
into the show. How many people have played the Hulk so far, or Bruce Banner?
three, but only two within the same continuity.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, but I've read a couple different articles where basically they were saying not only with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're also talking about Arrow, where the TV shows can be jumping off points to introduce characters into the movies, so you can have more of a backstory to the character, and then you don't have to concentrate on that in a movie. Like, bringing Flash into Arrow, so that you can have Flash in the next Superman movie and have this, if you can get the same actor, and then just, you know, no explanation of him because he was already explained in the TV show.
Right. Yeah. We see how well that worked with Smallville. But
they didn't let it happen in Smallville. I think it's a different world now, though.
Perhaps. But I think that I think you make a good point. I think that it's a valid goal, and I think specifically for characters like Quicksilver and his sister Scarlet Witch, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be a great place to introduce those characters and get them into the continuity so that there's not as much heavy lifting when the movies come along. So,
just as an aside, Joss, if you're looking at this, they're not expecting cameos. That means you have to do it. I'm just saying. So, let's see, what else did we get there? I don't know. I like Sky. I think it's nice that they brought in a complete newbie so basically you can see it through her eyes and get exposition that you would normally not get from, say, Grant Ward, who's, you know, a made man in the organization. So,
True.
Yeah, they're going to say it's a 1029, and she can say, well, what's that? And, you know, we get it explained to us.
Yeah, but I think there's also the factor that the whole team is new. So, you know, you get this, we're all getting introduced to this together. They're starting something new. It's a new team put together that hasn't worked together except for Fitz and Simmons. So we're along for the ride and right from the beginning.
Right. I think that was part of the brilliance to this. The only character that's established really is Coulson. Everyone else is new, so there's no expectations. There's nothing, oh, we pulled this from the comic books, and no one's expecting these characters to do anything or be anything, so they're free to tell the stories they want to tell and then just cameo in Marvel characters.
Yeah, but they're new, but they're not flat, so they don't have to rely on the characters they introduce. They can rely on, the stories can be about these people and about their growth as a team and about them getting along with each other and don't necessarily have to be, you know, the makes it so that the heroes and villains that they have to confront or the weapons that they have to deal with that are out there are a side story and that the real story is about the team.
All right. Well, I think we've been beating this topic to death.
I think we did a good job here. I think it's we're about a half an hour here, a little over. I think we did good.
All right. So I just want to go around the room real quick. And does anyone have any predictions for who the main villain that they're establishing might be? You know, I'm just going to stick with I believe it's AIM, or at least they're going to be involved somehow.
The Mandarin. It'll be the Mandarin. Finally.
The real Mandarin, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we can only hope.
Scott, your thoughts?
I don't know. I think it's too early for me to say. I think it could really go anywhere.
That's true. That's fair. I'm going to go with Hydra. I think it's more likely to be them than AIM. But we'll see. I don't think they're going to stick with one thing. I think they're going to hit on a lot of things and basically satisfy our geek desires and bring anything and everything they can from the universe that they haven't explored in the movies into the show. So, all right, another around the room. Favorite character so far? Dave.
Right now, I'm still going to stick with Coulson. I just love the way he was in this episode. You could tell he could kick butt if he had to, but yet he had a sense of humor about him.
And John?
Well, Grant Ward is too nebulous right now. I mean, he's just too cut and dried spy. And Leo and Gemma or Fitz and Simmons, they need to be fleshed out more before I can actually like connect or like them. But I think Sky had some of the best lines. So I'm with Sky right now.
Okay, Scott.
But always Scott. Always Colby Smulders at the you know.
Yes,
he's always
absolutely.
My second.
Scott.
I'm gonna go with Sky. But you know, I think Coulson. I just liked just his demeanor from his very first line. You know, where he was like, oh, you know, I saw the shadow, and I kind of.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
I thought that was like perfectly like Joss, but you know, I liked it, and I thought it started off on a really good note. So I definitely like his character. I think that you know the more that we're seeing of that from the movies is really good.
Right.
So.
Right. I think there's a bulb out.
Yeah. Right.
That was pretty funny. I'm gonna go with Lola. That's my favorite so far.
The car, okay.
The car. It's a flying car.
I'm gonna go with Ace. Ace. The little kid.
Yes.
Good grief.
Did he even have a single line?
I don't know.
Other than, like, help my daddy?
Other than, like, sulk. Alright.
So. All right. Well, this is a good time. I think we got a good show here.
I just want to say that was the first show that I've watched real time in a long time.
I know
like it was a really long time. I don't watch anything real time anymore.
It's the first one I've been really excited about. You know?
Yeah. It was. We all sat down to watch it at the beginning, and my kids were like, "We need popcorn." I was like, "I don't think we have any," and I'm not taking the time to make it right now. The show's on. You know, there was excitement in the air. It was great.
Yeah, it was very PG. I think even for an 8 o'clock time slot, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kid friendly.
Agreed. Well, folks, that's our show for today. So we're gonna sign off here. Just to wrap up, you know, obviously this is if you're watching this, great, enjoy. If you didn't catch it while we were running live, and hope then either you're watching it now. On our YouTube channel, or you're listening to it on our podcast broadcast. That sounds weird. and if you'd like to reach out to us, you can contact us through Facebook. We have it's facebook.com/superhero speak or twitter.com/superhero speak. We also have a Google Plus page, which is some long series of letters and numbers I can't remember, but you can get to it through YouTube or our website. And obviously superheroespeak.com. is our website, and we each have email addresses at Superhero Speak. I'm Ben at Superhero Speak.
I'm Dave at SuperheroSpeak.com.
And I'm the comedian relief at SuperheroSpeak.com, John.
And Scott.
And I'm Scott at SuperheroSpeak.com.
So thank you all for joining us tonight, or whenever you're joining us. And as we often sign off with our regular show, don't let your kid be caught on the door.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So, check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.